ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 8, Text 40. Kim svapna etat utta deva maya. Kim va mariyo bhattu buddhi moha. Ato amushyaiva mamarva bhakkasya. Yakashtanautpatika atma yogaha Kim svapna etad utta deva maya Kim va mariyo bhattu buddhi moha Ato amushyaiva mamarkabhasya Yakashtanautpatika atma yogaha. Please chant. Ladies, please. Word for word translation, please repeat. Kim, weather. Swapnaha, a dream. Etat, all this. Uta, or otherwise. Devamaya, an illusory manifestation by the external energy. Kimba, or else. Madhyaha, my personal. Bata, indeed. Buddhi moha, Buddhimohaha. Indeed. Illusion of intelligence. Ato. Otherwise. Amusya. Of such. Eva. Indeed. Mama arbakasya. Of my child. Yaha. Which. Kashchana. Some. Autpatikaha. Natural. Atma yogaha. Personal mystic power. Translation. Mother Yashoda began to argue within herself. Is this a dream, or is it an illusory creation by the external energy? Has this been manifested by my own intelligence, or is it some mystic power of my child? Please repeat. Mother Yashoda began to argue within herself. Is this a dream, or is it an illusory creation by the external energy? Has this been manifested by my own intelligence? Or is it some mystic power of my child? Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When Mother Yashoda saw this wonderful manifestation within the mouth of her child, she began to argue within herself about whether it was a dream. Then she considered, I am not dreaming because my eyes are open. I am actually seeing what is happening. I am not sleeping, nor am I dreaming. Then maybe this is an illusion created by Deva Maya, but that is also not possible. What business would the demigods have showing such things to me? I am an insignificant woman with no connection with the demigods. Why should they take the trouble to put me in Deva Maya? That also is not possible. Then Mother Yashoda considered whether the vision might be due to bewilderment. I am fit in health. I am not diseased. Why should there be any bewilderment? It is not possible that my brain is deranged, since I am ordinarily quite fit to think. Then this vision must be due to some mystic power of my son, as predicted by Garga Muni. Thus she finally concluded that the vision was due to her son's activities and nothing else. Om Ajnana Tamiyandasya Gyananjana Shalakoya Chakshu Unmilitamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkest ignorance. My spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances under his lotus feet. Translation once more. Mother Yashoda began to argue within herself. Is this a dream, or is it an illusory creation by the external energy? Has this been manifested by my own intelligence, or is it some mystic power of my child? So this is an example of the higher rasas that are experienced in Krishna's Vrindavan Leelas amongst his pure devotees and aren't experienced in either Dwarka, Ayodhya, or Vaikuntha, where the devotees worship God in awe and reverence. And Krishna puts the pure devotees in Vrindavan Leela in Yoga Maya in such a way to increase the affection of their loving relationship so that they completely forget that he's God. So in a conversation between Satyavrata Muni and Narada Muni and Padma Purana, that's where we get this the Bhajan Dhammadharastakam that we sing during the month of Kartik. And the third verse is saying how, because of Krishna's excellent babyhood child pastimes, the residents of Vrindavan are drowning in pools of ecstasy. And he herein reveals that the devotees that are attracted to his majestic aspect of Narayana and Vaikuntha, that he is overwhelmed and conquered by pure loving devotion. So in our conditioned state, it's really hard to relish these pastimes sometimes because we're afflicted by the jaundice of avidya or ignorance. And what prevents us from attaining these higher mellows and relishing these topics is our conditioned nature fallen into this material atmosphere. And it's compared to a disease And I've heard that the ISKCON temples are compared to hospitals, and we're treating the disease. And according to the severity of our disease, to that degree, we have to be strict and sincere on taking our medicine. And Srimad Bhagavatam class is part of our medicine. Daily hearing Bhagavatam, daily waking up early in the morning like Srila Prabhupada prescribed. And also, what's that medicine? It's working intensely for the mission of the spiritual master, combined with intense sadhana. Now, the whole goal of this sadhana and working intensely for the mission of the spiritual master is to become a pure devotee like Mother Yashoda and Vrindavan Dham. Mother Yashoda or the pure devotees, they don't have to perform sadhana, chanting japa, or performing sadhana bhakti, but because we're conditioned, we need these things to be able to clear the contamination within our heart, to actually relish these mellows that Mother Yashoda's experience. In our conditioned consciousness, there's a gulf of difference between our consciousness and the consciousness of Mother Yashoda. We're attracted to material sense gratification, trying to please ourselves, whereas Mother Yashoda, 24 hours a day, without even a moment of missing Krishna, engrossed in her consciousness, always thinking of how to please Krishna, completely engrossed in love of Krishna. So this is the actual goal. And to support this statement that we have to work intensely for the spiritual master, there's two quick things that I would like to read from Prabhupada's purports. One is in Canto 9, Chapter 4, text, I think it's 26. So this is part of our medicine, hearing very attentively. So try to hear this very attentively. I thought this was a very important verse. In the purport, Prabhupada is saying that severe austerities in the practice of devotional service are of many varieties. One must constantly be engaged in various activities, and the hard labor involved is certainly an austerity. Similarly, the hard labor involved in preaching, preparing literature, preaching to atheistic men, and distributing literature door to door is of course an austerity. By such austerity and devotional service, one is purified of material existence. Indeed, such austerity leads one to the constitutional position of devotional service. In this way, one can give up material desires, and as soon as one is freed from material desires, he is free from the repetition of birth, death, old age, and disease. So you can see Prabhupada here stressing the need to perform tapasya, or austerity, in order to gain a higher taste, the param drisva, in devotional service. And there's one more quick purport I'd just like to read that also further points out this point. In executing penance, one must be determined to return home back to Godhead and must decide to undergo all types of tribulations for that end. Even for material prosperity and name and fame, one has to undergo severe types of penances. Otherwise, no one can become an important figure in this material world. Why then should there not be severe types of penances for the perfection of devotional service? And I think this sentence coming up is very important. He says that an easygoing life and attainment of perfection and transcendental realization cannot go together. The Lord is more clever than any living entity. Therefore, he wants to see how painstaking the devotee is in devotional service. The order is received from the Lord, either directly or through the bona fide spiritual master, and to execute that order, however painstaking, is the severe type of penance. One who follows the principle rigidly is sure to achieve success in attaining the Lord's mercy. Also, in the third canto, I believe it's chapter 9, where Lord Brahma is getting the instruction to create this material universe, it states how Lord Brahma had to perform thousands of years of tapasya and meditation in order to get the darshan of Krishna, in order to get the instruction to create this world and to become empowered to fulfill that instruction. And in one purport in that section, Prabhupada is saying that Krishna does not disclose himself to the casual devotee. So if we actually want to see Krishna like Mother Yashoda seeing Krishna, we should try to step out of our comfort zone and not be casual devotees, easygoing devotees, because as we just read, easygoing life and spiritual realization do not go together. So, Srila Prabhupada, I've heard statements where you're saying that these temples aren't places for eating and sleeping, but they're bases in which we train our men to go out and fight with Maya. And he further says, fighting with Maya means to drop millions of books on the laps of conditioned souls, just like at wartime, bombs are dropping from the air. And if we don't perform this tapasya, and we take the easy route, the easygoing life, then there's a chance that we won't attain the perfection. Actually, there's a huge chance we won't attain the perfection, but we'll have to come back birth after birth until we're ready to adopt the full faith program of intense sadhana and intensely working for the mission of the spiritual master. So if we ever feel stagnant or uninspired or bored or unsatisfied in our spiritual life, it's because we're not getting the param drisva, the higher taste, without which it's impossible to get the aspect of nivartate, or giving up material sense gratification. And if we want to drink the nectar and relish these pastimes that we're hearing every day, we should be willing to perform tapasya and go out and perform Sankirtan Yajna in the form of spreading the holy names, giving out books, prasadam distribution. So many guests are coming to the Sunday feast. We should be willing to preach them. And by preaching, we're pleasing Srila Prabhupada the most. And by pleasing the spiritual master, this is where we get the real nectar. And after preaching all day, when we come back at night and we actually read, this philosophy and these pastimes actually come to life. We can actually relish what's really going on. And the next day when we chant japa or we chant in kirtan, it takes us to like a whole another dimension. And we could turn our whole life into like a mad ecstasy marathon where we're always relishing Krishna's holy name, Krishna's pastimes. And whenever we're reading or hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, it's very nectarian to the ears. And since, there's one more thing that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, there's a quote from him saying that we should be willing to shed gallons of blood just to save one materialist. Yeah, so it's not, okay. And, in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 11, text 55, Prabhupada's purport saying that one who dedicates himself, first of all, he gives the example of devotees going out and sacrificing their time and their life to spread the glories of the Lord. And he's saying how Jesus Christ is a favorite example of this. And he goes on further to say that someone who dedicates his life to spreading the glories of the Lord is sure to reach the topmost spiritual planet in the spiritual sky, Goloka Vrindavan. It says it right there in the end of the purport. And because it was Jesus Christ's appearance day yesterday, I'd like to read one quick thing again from Chaitanya Charitamrita, 15th chapter, text 163. This is Vasudev Dat, a very great and pure devotee of the Lord, speaking to Lord Chaitanya. So I'll just read the translation and the first paragraph of the purport. It's pretty fired up. Okay, the translation. My dear Lord, let me suffer perpetually in a hellish condition, accepting all the sinful reactions of all living entities. Please finish their diseased material life. So this is a purport by Srila Prabhupada. He's saying that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives the following commentary on this verse. In the Western countries, Christians believe that Lord Jesus Christ, their spiritual master, appeared in order to eradicate all the sins of his disciples. To this end, Lord Jesus Christ appeared and disappeared. Here, however, we find Sri Vasudev Dat Thakur and Srila Haridas Thakur to be millions of times more advanced than even Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ relieved only his followers from his sinful reactions, but Vasudev Datta is here prepared to accept the sins of everyone in the universe. So the comparative position of Vasudev Datta is millions of times better than that of Lord Jesus Christ. A Vaishnava is so liberal that he is prepared to risk everything to rescue the conditioned souls from material existence. Srila Vasudev Datta Thakur is universal love itself, for he was willing to sacrifice everything and fully engage in the service of the Supreme Lord. So just hearing this should inspire us. There's so many pastimes in Chaitanya Charitamrita where Lord Chaitanya delivers seemingly undeserving souls that weren't devotees at all. like Amoga, the stepson of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, was actually offending the Lord, and he got very sick, and he was on his deathbed, and Lord Chaitanya came and gave him love of God. Jagai Madai, the prince son of Prataparuja Maharaj, it says in the purport that the prince was an ordinary prince. He wasn't even a devotee. But upon being embraced by the Lord, Lord Chaitanya gave him love of God. There's so many examples of this, very inspiring. So upon hearing this, we should also be wanting to give this nectar to others and not just keeping it ourselves, but going out and giving it to others, and in the form of giving out the holy names, giving out this spiritual literature. And our goal should try to be to give everyone the chance on this planet to come in contact with Lord Chaitanya. So these seemingly undeserving souls, just like in the pastimes, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, can also become fully enlivened and get blessed by Lord Chaitanya by coming in contact with his Yuga Dharma. So our goal should try to be to spread this everywhere in every town and village, like Srila Prabhupada said, so that everybody on this earth planet comes in contact with Krishna consciousness. And even though if they don't become a devotee in this life, we could think that although they came in contact with Krishna consciousness, they get a gyati sukriti, maybe they leave a donation, or they dance in the Harinam, and maybe eventually they'll have to leave their body, and they'll take births again. And if we spread this Yuga Dharma all around, then eventually, after generations and generations, if we reach everybody on the earth planet to come in contact with this Krishna consciousness, after generations of people dying and taking birth again, if those people in the past, in their past lives, came in contact with this Krishna consciousness movement, this whole earth will become a fertile field for preaching Krishna consciousness. And we can imagine in 30, 40, 50, 60 years, if we keep going on like this, keep going on and giving it our all, trying and going on in the Sankirtan Yoga, we can imagine the possibilities that can take place. And along with this preaching, we should also be very cautious of developing nice Vaishnava qualities that actually almost come automatically when you're dedicating your life to the service of your spiritual master and taking the sadhana program up very intensely. Automatically, these Vaishnava qualities become manifest within your heart. And one of the most important Vaishnava qualities is humility and not offending other devotees. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in his Shishashakam, Chunadapi Sunichana Torodavisahishnana Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari, to become more humble than a blade of grass and more tolerant like a tree, ready to offer all respects to others and expect none in return. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy names of the Lord constantly. So this Vaishnava Aparad, although you're intensely working for the mission and you're keeping intense sadhana, can completely ruin everything. It can drain you from your spiritual bank account. And I heard in a class yesterday by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, he was saying that when it comes to Vaishnava Aparad, you know, a lot of times some devotees will criticize other devotees. And he was saying that there's usually two types of criticism. One is actually in devotional service, when you're sincerely taking a humble position, but you're criticizing a devotee in such a way that you're trying to help him, you're trying to point out maybe you should be doing this better, or this someone's breaking the regular principles, you're trying to help him come to the platform of not doing such a thing. Or you could be preaching to another devotee that, see, that devotee is not really a good example to follow if he's breaking the regs. Obviously, you would want to follow someone who's following strictly. But he said that 99% of the time, when someone criticizes someone, it's because that we want to prove that we're better than that person. And he said that this is very offensive, and it's Vaishnava Aparad. We should always try to have affectionate and loving relationships with the devotees, and we can actually experience nectar from doing this. Always ready to take the humble position, always ready to forgive. I had an experience, a realization of this, and the Christmas marathon a couple years ago, I was with Prema Sankirtan Prabhu. I think we were in Santa Barbara. and we just got done working all day long, and we were laying in the van about to take rest, and we just started glorifying devotees in New Dwarka. I think everybody in this room was probably mentioned, and we were just naming all the good qualities of the devotees. We'd say, like, Krishnapad Prabhu, he's so humble, he works so hard, he always takes the humble position. We were just going down the list, and I was actually experiencing, like, intense ecstasy just from doing this before bed, and I woke up very fired up, ready to go out on Sankirtan, and it's from glorifying the devotees. So real Vaishnav satsang is to actually talk about Krishna, to help us develop, help each other develop our Krishna consciousness. And when we speak of unnecessary things, it almost feels like it drains our battery. It like drains our devotional, the power that we get from devotional service becomes drained from just talking nonsense. In Upadeshamrita, Rupa Goswami says six things unfavorable for devotional service. Atyahara prayasya prajapo niyamagraha. One of those being prajapa, is talking unnecessary vibrations. We should always be engrossed 24 hours a day, every single moment, and hearing and chanting, preaching, having loving relationships with the devotees, and having no time to do anything else. So, I hope that wasn't a short class. I think that's all I wanted to say today. Is there any questions? Nila Madhava Prabhu.
I just want to say thank you for a very nice class, Prabhuji, and for setting such a wonderful example. I personally observed that I never seen you waste even a second of your time. You're always engaged in Krishna's service, listening to lectures, distributing books, talking about Krishna Katha. It's like a spiritual entrepreneur, you know. So just sadhu, sadhu, that's all I wanted to say.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so upon saying that, Archita Prabhu instructed me to do this. And because I'm his humble servant, I'll do whatever he says. And, okay, so he printed this out for me. There's two great souls. I think it's their disappearance day today. Sri Mahesh Pandit. So Sri Mahesh Pandit, the seventh of the 12 Gopals, tasting Krishna Prema, used to dance like a madman to the sound of a huge kettle drum. Especially dear to Sri Nityananda Prabhu, he traveled and preached with the Lord. He established deities of Nitai Gauranga, Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Govinda, and Gopinath. In Raj Leela, he serves Krishna Balaram as the cowherd boy, Mahabahu. And this is Sri Udarana Dat Thakur. Udaran Dat Thakur, a Dwadas Gopal, lived in Saptagram, a cluster of seven villages, Krishnapur, Nityanandapur, Vasudevpur, Shivapur, Vasanbedia, Sahanagara, Saptagram, and Saptagram. Raised in luxury within a family of gold merchants, he later married and worked as a wealthy state minister. The place where he once held office is today called Udaranapur, in his honor. Lord Nityananda would often stay in his home and accept food from his hand. Performing Prema Nam Sankirtan in Saptagram, Lord Nityananda delivered the entire community of bankers and gold merchants. Udarana Dat said that Saptagram is such a holy place that simply by seeing it, one is freed from all sins. When he was 26 years old, his wife suddenly died. He left everything to associate with Sri Nityananda Prabhu and preached the glories of Krishna's holy names. He personally installed and worshipped deities of Sadbuj Mahaprabhu, Sri Nityananda Prabhu, Gadadhar Pandit, and he serves Lord Balaram as Subahu Saka in Vraj Leela. Jai, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
That wasn't so painful.